Welcome to Reformation Platform Ministry. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please listen with your heart as the servant of God brings forth the Word of Life.
What will open what we are supposed to talk about? 1 John 2:18 from the Amplified Bible.
Children.
Yes.
It is the last hour.
Children, it is the last hour.
That is the end of this age.
That is, it is the end of this age.
And just as you heard that the Antichrist is coming. That is the one who will oppose Christ.
An attempt to replace him.
Even now.
Many antichrists.
That is, false teachers.
Yes.
Have appeared.
They have already appeared.
Which confirms our belief that it is the last hour.
And that is our evidence that of a truth, it is the last hour. You see, I could just go into the Word of God. You understand? But if we don't pray, is it because we are living at the end of the age and we are living at a time when the spirit of the age is everywhere? It's actually more difficult to raise children now, to be more faithful to your wife, to fear God. 2 Timothy 3:1. Please let's all go there. So, Brother Busayo, you will read from Amplified Bible. Then Sister Ruth will read from Living Bible. Yes.
But understand this.
I want you to understand this.
That in the last days. Dangerous times. Of great stress and trouble. Will come. That is difficult days that will be very hard.
To bear. I don't have the time because it reads all the way to verse 8. All the way. But I don't have the time. Okay? Yes?
You may as well know this too, Timothy.
Yes?
That in the last days. It is going to be very difficult. To be a Christian.
Amen. I just finished reading in the newspapers this afternoon how a bishop took somebody's wife, a choir member's wife. And when they asked him, why did you take your choir member's wife? He said his own father too had six wives. Was that the question that warranted that kind of answer? But said that his own father too had six wives, so it is normal for him. The spirit of the age will cover everywhere as we head towards the end of all things. And yet, the Bible says where sin abounds, grace does what? Abounds even much more. As a parent, when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray we all make it in the rapture of the church. When we stand before Jesus, we will be judged for how we raised our children, for how we were with our partners. You understand? We'll be judged. I pray in the name of Jesus, you will not be guilty in the name of Jesus Christ. So I want us to pray. That Lord, I want to be founded. More than ever before, I want to be founded upon you. Are you getting it? Let me tell you. There are storms. Do you know that, before we pray, do you know that there are certain ships, if they don't weigh anchor, that is, if they don't drop the anchor for the ship, it doesn't matter. You know some ships, if you stand there, it will still continue like that, maybe to the beginning of the street. Some ships are massive. But see this wind, as it's doing so, it can shift it. Are you with me? It doesn't matter how big the ship is. Wind has no respect if you have no anchor. If you leave it there, by the time you come back, if you come back to that port, I know there's no bus stop on the sea. Even if you left it by the port, maybe you used a gangplank to go on top of it before. You understand? If you leave it a day or two, if you come back and you didn't drop the anchor, it will have shifted, though. To sisters and to brothers who are saying, but when we got married, you are not like this. Ah, something has shifted in. Amen. Something has... Mm-hmm. You understand? So we are going to pray. I've not started ministering. I wanted us to understand it before we pray. You understand? We'll be praying from Colossians. Colossians 2, from verse 6 to 7. Okay? And we'll take it quickly and then we'll pray because I have just 1 hour. It says, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so do what? Walk ye in him. So do what? Walk in him. Rooted and built up and established in the faith with thanksgiving. Is that what is there? Abounding therein, with thanksgiving. I want us to pray. Is it because it's possible that we had, or from where we're coming from, we had a form of godliness, but we kept denying the power thereof. That power that can change us, we kept denying it. We're going to pray today. Lord, I want to be founded. I want to be rooted. I want to be built upon Jesus Christ, the solid rock. So that it doesn't matter the storm. It doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter the issues. Whether there's money, whether there's no money. Whether there's good health or there's sickness. Whether there are challenges or there are no challenges. Cause me to be rooted in you. Let the root of my being go deep down in you. And as the word of God will come, Lord, I want you to confront me on these matters today. I don't want wind of circumstances, storms of life to shift me away. And then I'm suddenly a stranger to my wife, to my children, people that when I promise them that I will be with you, I'll be faithful to you. And then all of a sudden, because something that is bigger than me has shifted me away. I want to be rooted in Jesus. I want to be rooted in Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to be rooted. Bible says rooted and built up. It's not enough to be rooted. It is after the root has gone deep into the ground that the tree begins to shoot out. So it's correct to say that the root is the foundation. I want to be built up. Let me stop being a child in spiritual things. Help me to grow up. Baktaga ye garaga. Hele broda zikeye kakadeza babaya doza kale katashagaya. Help me to grow up. Make me an instrument in your hand that you can use. Bible said that the hair, as long as a child, it differs nothing from a servant. Even though he is the Lord of all. Help me to grow up. Help me to mature. Because that's what you want to do, and it is my home that you will use. It's my life that you will use. It's my marriage that you will use. Help me in the name of Jesus Christ. Help me to be built up. Help me to grow in the Spirit. Help me to grow in the things of God. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Bible says, and established in the faith. See, when storm comes, if the tree is deeply rooted, no matter the storm, it may shake. But what will happen? It will stand. Why? Because it, do you know that many times the root of a tree is longer than, it's actually taller than the tree itself. It's actually taller than the tree. You are going to pray. See, this end time, I won't be a victim. Me, I will make it home. I will make it home. Because by the grace of God, I will forge ahead. It doesn't matter the depth of the darkness. Darkness has never been known to be so strong enough to snuff out light. No. It doesn't matter how, even if the darkness is deepening everywhere and all of that, I will stand and I'll be faithful to God. And the grace of God will preserve me. Bible says in Titus 2:11, it says, and the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should dwell in this world or live in this world soberly, righteously, in this present world. You are going to pray. That doesn't matter, even if we are at the end times and all manner of things are happening. I will live this life that the Lord has given to me by grace. Grace, God's grace is God's help and assistance where you need it, when you need it, and to the extent that you need it. If grace can't, nobody can and nothing can. But thank God for the grace of God. We're going to pray as we wrap up. And that same grace will bring understanding. That same grace that brings salvation will bring you understanding today, as the word of God will be shared, even in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we ask of you that by your grace we will stand. We will make it home by your grace. We will not be people who are trying to escape. The grace of God is powerful enough to sustain us, to underguard us, to strengthen us, to empower us, even in the name of Jesus. By grace, I will maintain my home. By grace, I will have a beautiful relationship with my wife, a beautiful relationship with my children, by the grace of God, so that my boast can be in God's grace alone. Not in what I have done, not in what I'm trying to do, but because the Lord has helped me. And by grace, I ask for understanding this afternoon, even as we go into the Word of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Lord Jesus, we are here. We look to you to speak to us. Share with us that which is in your heart, that we may be built upon you, even in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're talking this afternoon on the sure foundation for a lasting home. If a home is going to last, it should be dependent on the kind of foundation that home had from the very beginning. Amen. You see, foundation is the lowest load-bearing part of a building. Amen? So, typically, it is always below ground level. Typically, it's not meant to be seen. Amen. So because it's not meant to be seen, some kind of very foolish people will build just like that on the surface. Since nobody is supposed to know anyway. You understand? But many of such people who build such structures forget that if the house was meant to be there for 10 years now, and at the end of 10 years, that's the end of it all, would it have been a problem? No, it wouldn't have been a problem. But you see, houses, by the way they are meant to last for how long? So many years. Sometimes maybe 60, 70, 80 years. Maybe if it is properly built, you know, a generation will hand it over to the next generation, to the next, to the next, to the next, like that. I'm sure you all remember the Lekki house that came down. I think they said it was a structural defect, Abby. I'm sure that should resonate with you, that scripture that says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can a righteous person do? Amen. It will lead me today to ask you a few questions. Amen. What foundation did you lay for your life? I don't know if you understand English, you can help me translate it. Charlie Shienidi. Who can help me translate it? Is he on cover? On cover, that's like the top now, Abi. If you see on cover, that's like my own head now is uncovered. Exposed. No. Uprooted. Can you be uprooted? Upon what foundation is your home laid? Upon what foundation is the basis of your hope, your confidence, and your assurance? Is somebody with me? These are critical matters. Amen. They are what? They are critical matters. What is your foundation? When you have no foundation, that's when mere men, yesterday's men, will come and tell you, oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. There's a foundational problem in your family. Your family. And that's what is causing generational curse. When you are not built upon the foundation of Christ, you will believe them. As the man is shaking, you will be shaking with him. He used to say, hey. What is the Lord saying? What is the Lord saying? Upon what foundation is your home built? No, I've taken it too far. Is your life built? Then your home built? Then your life assignment built? Can you see it now? Because normally it's supposed to be progressive, okay? Upon what is it built? If your foundation is shallow, men will come with prophecies that has no biblical, not emphasis. What's that English word? It's somewhere there inside my mind.
Traces,
okay. Thank you. And thank you too. You know, prophecies that has no scriptural relevance. And say, you see, this thing that the enemy has done, the enemy meant it for evil. Sometimes it's only one part of the man that will be shaking. All manner of funny people. They are everywhere now. You know there's no job. They are everywhere. Every idiot is now a preacher. And then they will start coming and, you know, start telling you prophecies that have no scriptural relevance. And because your foundation is shallow too, you know, you're like, adults, Kenneth Hagin used to put that thing. He would say, you know, we should no longer be like birds, little birds. You know, when you give birth to, when the egg hatches, the little bird will close his, because his eyes are not yet open. It will close his eyes like this, and the mouth will be open. That's how they are. So the mother will go. They'll be crying like that. So the mother will go out, get food, come with its own beak. You know, the mouth are open, and so you just be putting food there. Most Christians are like that. And then, okay, at least these children, sorry, these chicks that you call them, after a while they will grow, you know, so, and then they start doing what too? They start opening their eyes and start closing their mouth. But the Christian does not open his eyes. 15 years may go down the line. 18 years may go down the line. 25 years may go down the line. Their eyes are permanently closed. And their mouths are permanently open. So even if Satan dresses like the mother and wears wig, I know Satan is a trickster. And he comes, maybe the mommy talks like, my babies. He will just mimic that voice. Because the foundation is shallow. They keep opening their mouths. There are ministries in this Lagos. In this Lagos. People's ATM is with their daddy in the Lord. I don't get it. You can't even sleep with your wife without asking daddy. It is human beings that are under these people, oh, not animals. Oh. Why? Because they never built a firm foundation. They never dug deep and deep, deep and deep and deep. I'm sure you have all seen skyscrapers. It takes time before skyscrapers are built. Because the height is almost as long as the depth, if not longer. Upon what are you built? Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, neither is there any foundation that can be laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Brethren, what Christ is asking for is not mental assent. Do you understand? It's not that, may I believe in Jesus so? Honestly, even Satan believes in Jesus. If that can save people, Satan should have been saved. Bible says in James, thou believest that there is God, thou doest well. Even the devils believe and they tremble. So it's not enough that you believe. Belief does not save anybody. That's just one side of a legal tender or one side of a coin. A coin that has one side. Is it an accepted legal tender? No. So it's not enough that you believe. There must be faith also. That's the other side. Amen. One side is belief. The other side is faith. The difference is that I may be hungry now and starving and I see food and I say, if I can eat that food, I will survive. And I keep looking at it. Where will I die? I'm asking you. Oh, you don't know. Okay, where I will die is that I will keep looking at it until I die. Faith is that I stand up, I go to that place, and I take that food, and I eat it. And then what happens? I will survive. Do you get the idea now? Genuine faith in God is not that we believe that Jesus is Lord. What about faith? What about actions based on that belief? What about when he now says to you, come close to me? Do you know, I may never come close to him and I kept saying, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is so beautiful. And that's where I would die.
Satan will be flogging me there. I say, Jesus is Lord. Satan will say, oh, I know. He will still flog you. But it's when you take steps and follow him and begin to walk with him and begin to build your life on him, that's when you are doing something that can count. Amen. For no other foundation. I want someone to read for me very quickly. Isaiah 28 verse 16. There is no other foundation. There's no other foundation. There's only one. How many foundations? Just one. There are not two. It's only one. Yes, what does it say? Amplified Bible Classic. Isaiah 28:16.
Therefore,
thus says the Lord God.
Behold,
I am laying in Zion.
For a foundation,
a stone,
a tested stone,
a precious cornerstone
of sure foundation.
He who believes,
who trusts in,
who relies on,
who adheres to
that stone,
will not be ashamed,
or give way, or hasten.
Away in sudden panic.
Amen. Of course, by now you know that foundation, it is Christ. Amen. So my issue with you, it's honestly, it is not, are you a Christian? If you notice, I didn't ask you whether you're a Christian or not. Eh? My question to you is, are you planted upon this foundation? That's actually my question. You understand it now? To you. Because what God has prepared for you is as if there's nobody else and it was only for you. Do you understand? And it's until you open it and enter into it, that is when you partake of that blessing. I lay in Zion a tried precious stone. Why the word tried? That is, they've tried him. They've tested him and done all manner. He still stood there. I can't remember what song we sang earlier today, or whether I was singing alone when we were praying. It was something about his utter faithfulness. How it doesn't matter, he will be there for you. How when everybody else has left, he alone will remain. I've walked with him for over 25 years and I've found him to be so. I found that he's not a liar. He does not deceive anybody. And this one still keeps troubling me. He always says what he means. And he always means whatever he says. So my question, or my first question, I have three questions actually, is this. Why must my life as a man be founded upon the word of God? As a man, as a husband, as a father, why must your own life be founded upon the word of God? Why? I have the same kind of question for women, which is, why, as a woman, must my life be founded upon the word of God? And my third question is simple. What is that sure foundation for every life, for every home, and for every ministry, if I want it to last? Amen. So let me ask my first question, as I've asked. Let's go to Matthew 7:24-27. Matthew 7:24-27 from NKJV. But you'll have to read fast, though, because of time. Yes.
Whoever hears the sayings of mine and does them,
yes,
I will liken him to a wise man,
yes,
his house on the rock.
Mm.
And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears the sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall.
Amen. You notice something in this passage of scripture. There's a man and there's a house, right? There's a man and there's a house. There's also a foundation. Now, what differentiates a foolish man from a wise man is what? Upon what is this life? And automatically, this what again? Home that is called house in this passage, Abby, built. There are a lot of very foolish people. Is it not foolishness to say, see, you know, you go to a science laboratory, and that science laboratory is called this present world. Do you understand? And you say, hello, I want to use my life as an experiment. Is that not foolishness? How can somebody use his own life as an experiment? But the Lord Jesus said, everyone who hears what he says and does not do them. Is that what will I liken that man to? A foolish man who built his house. Now, that tells you something. When you see a man, by extension, what is that man? Huh? Let me see whether you've gotten it. Huh? His family or his home. Do you understand? So it's not just one man. It's actually what? A family. One man is a unit. Is it not so? But is a family a unit? No. At least if even if you say, if you want to follow the Oyibo people, you say a nuclear family is a father, mother, and children. Is it not so? Do you know that as a man, when you have no personal relationship with God, do you know you are endangering your wife and your children? Amen. Do you know that that's what you are doing? He that breaketh the hedge, him the serpent will bite. That's what scripture says. Sir, with due respect, sir, are you a foolish man? Are you one who listens to the word of God and practices it? For every word of God that you hear or that you have read and you obey, what are you doing again? It's another fortification that you are bringing on top of your house. Bam! Do you get the idea? As you obey another one, bam! Until you have something that the enemy cannot penetrate. You remember another foolish man? His name was Adam. When God made him, he told him, I'm putting you in this garden, and may your home remain a garden in Jesus' name. Because the word Eden, in the Hebrew, it actually means paradise. He said, keep it. The word keep is for the word protect. But because he was a foolish man. It's only a foolish man that will hear the word of God and ignore it. You are hearing the word of somebody that does not joke with what he says. Are you getting it now? Do you know that even some things that are not God, they are very faithful? Should I give you an example? Electricity is very faithful. Why are you laughing? I'm talking about something serious. Are you people laughing? It's very faithful and it's constant. Eh? If you touch it, you will be shocked. If you keep touching it, you will die. And compared to God, electricity is safe. I'm telling you the truth. God, do you know who he is? When there was no death, God was the first person that spoke about death.
He told him, now all of this thing has been done, oh. See, as this, everything is beautiful. See, flower, see, you can call for your wife. Do whatever you want to do. Eh? But see, you see that tree? Don't touch it, oh. Because the day you take from it and eat from it, you will die. When there was no death anywhere. The first person that spoke of death was God. And the foolish man looked away from it. He ate it. When did he die? Instantly. Someone said, so another foolish man was there. Where is it? He didn't die immediately. Did he notice he was naked? That's what death does. It strips you naked. Because the glory of God that should have protected you will be removed. And then you are just there like that. You'll not be looking for leaf up and down. You cover bum bum and cover, you know, your private parts and be doing like this. He couldn't even find what to use. It was leaves he used again. It will expire. It will not dry. Leaves. Man that was made in the image of God, he became a stupid man. Instantly, when God was going to cover him, he made a coat of animal skin. How long will that last for? You see what the stupid man provided for himself and his wife. He made sure she had her own too. Leaves. Stupid man. Don't join the class of foolish men who dares God. You cannot dare God and go scot-free. No, you won't go scot-free. You won't. You won't. And when God wants to punish you, you see this God, I fear him. Oh, he will punish you. Punish your children to the third and fourth generation if they want to follow your steps. Is that to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me? He said, I will deal with them. And you know the thing about him? He has time. He does not die. So as the children are being born, there's already something on top of their head that they will carry. Before somebody can jump and say, hey, that means that my pastor is right about generational curses. There are no generational curses. There are only generational consequences of sin. Amen. There are two different things. Don't join men who think they can ignore the word of God. You cannot. You will not go scot-free. Bible says, let hand join in hand. No sinner will go unpunished. Don't be such a man. Satan will tell you what's there. Aye, Sheru Ejo. He will say those kind of things because he needs you to be disobedient so that he will keep ruling over you. Do you get the idea now? Because man was never meant for anything to rule over him. May you be restored today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Man was never meant for anything to rule over him. Not even another man. That's why you always see all these revolutions happening. Because the man is a piece of God. You understand? Dominion is part of what, you know, is like what God has given to man as a lifestyle. So when a man wants to rule over another man, something in that other man will keep fighting. And it's right. That's the way God made man. Amen.
Amen.
Even as Christians, we are not meant to rule over anybody. We can lead, not rule. Amen. As somebody will say, they say in Nigeria, what you have are not leaders, they are rulers. And that's why those ones too keep cursing them. Are you getting it now? And what gives you not only legitimacy, but power and authority is the fact that you have come under the authority of God's word as a man. Do you get the idea? That's what gives you power, legitimacy, and authority. And authority is the divine ability and divine right to issue decrees and the divine ability to enforce compliance. That when you say something, that's what's going to happen. So whatever you bind on earth, what will happen? It will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, it will be loosed in heaven. Now, because of my time, what about the woman? Why must your life as a woman be founded upon the word of God? Is it just men that we're talking about? No. I've said it in this kind of forum once, that when we use the word man in relation to God, we are talking in generic terms. You understand? Both sexes. Okay? Because both sexes are in the image of who? Of God. Are you getting it now? Now, Proverbs 14 verse 1, Amplified Bible. Brother Abusa, you read again. Proverbs 14 verse 1. Please hold on. Does this look like what we read before? There was a wise man, right? And there was a house. And there was a foundation. Don't forget to. Oh, yeah, read on now.
On a foundation of godly precepts.
Aha.
And a household thrives.
Yes.
But the foolish one, who lacks spiritual insight,
yes,
tears it down with her own hands by ignoring godly precepts.
May God bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I pray for you that you will not be a foolish woman.
Amen.
Maybe the women were like, hey, tell them very well. Tell all of these men. Tell them. Your turn has come. Amen. It's so easy for us to think that it's only men that must build. What is this passage showing us? Eh? A woman too must build. In fact, most of the time, what a man builds is a house. Who turns that house into a home? It's a woman. The Bible says here, the wise woman builds her house on a foundation of godly precepts. It's the same, you know, it's just like male, female. It's the same thing that I've said so far. Sister, on what foundation are you built? On what foundation are you built? I know what's interesting. Who is it between men and women that children spend more time with? Huh? It's the women. 9 out of 10 times, the child will be brought up by the mother as against who? The father. Not because the father is irresponsible. No, don't get me wrong. I've just asked you, who spent more time with the child? Eh? At least for the first 10 to 15 years of a child's life, who does that child spend more time with? Eh? I pray for you. What am I doing for you? I am praying for you. You will not be found guilty in Jesus' name.
Amen.
If your own issues have carried the word of God away from your heart, that all that your children see is this constantly nervous and constantly anxious mother. Because I remember when I was growing up. See, I remember again. I don't know where one of my sisters went. You know, maybe my mom sent her to buy something. And it wasn't in those days when there was phone. You know, now you just simply call Abby. I know where the person is. My mother now said, I should follow her to the bus stop. I wonder why we are going to the bus stop. Because it was around 10 p.m. and my sister wasn't back. You understand? And then we stood at the bus stop. So every bus that passes, my mother kept doing like this. for over an hour. And it had a very strong impression on me. I knew something is wrong with that. Amen. So one of the things I learned early is to ask God about everything. So one day I sent somebody to do something for me. He wasn't coming on time. I said, Lord, where is this boy? He said, don't worry. He's on his way already. In fact, he's already on the staircase. I was at Joshua's house at the time. And less than a minute, the person came from the staircase and I just smiled. And I kept doing what I was doing. Because I remember that that's a huge improvement for my mother's. Amen. Sister, what am I talking about? You need to have a relationship with this God. You need to be built on Him. You need to lay the foundation of your life upon His word. I wish that when it's time for conversations, because I think I have how many minutes left? Yes, 11 minutes left. If there's a need for you to ask questions on it, ask questions so that we can deal with it properly. Are you getting it? Every worry is a wasted prayer point. Not some, every. It's a prayer point that you wasted, that you didn't pray. Every time you worry, every time you are anxious, if you had prayed, the Lord would have made it easy for you. You would have seen an answer. You are worried. Then, do you notice that, I don't know, and I'm not, this is not funny, even though I know that they made me laugh now. It's as if there's a worry thermometer. There's a level that worry gets to. That the woman becomes irritable. She alone put a quick key over any corner. Okay. She just gets irritable. If you mistakenly put your legs on. Oh, honey, what? Now, what? Now? You're just like, what did I do? Okay, I'm sorry. Because the more they worry, or the more as a woman you worry, this is what happens. You keep carrying more load. Sell them upon my warrior. You know that a time comes, now you are not carrying the one you cannot bear. I don't know, have you ever seen people carry load really like this? I used to wonder how that works. I mean, the mechanics to do like this. So not just your head that is carrying the load, even your hands. Amen. A point will come. There's always a breaking point. But the word of God, if you will obey it, if you are not a foolish woman, it says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, is it in some things? In everything. But how we always like to pick the one that we want to obey, it amazes me. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. The next verse says, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Sometimes when a woman does, it can even vibrate. And she has said so many things without saying anything. She has said so many things without opening her mouth to say one word. No. Bible says, when she builds her house on a foundation of godly precepts, our household will thrive. Do you get the idea now? It will thrive. You will make progress if you will build on the word of God. He says, but the foolish one who lacks spiritual insight tears it down with her own hands. May you not tear down your own home in Jesus' name. Amen. You will not be a weak link in Jesus' name. Amen. Because when God wants to make progress with you, Satan will just come. He will just whisper those things. And as he's whispering, how do you explain that in English? Eh? Sir? He's heaping more on you. You are saying, Beru me. He said, I will help you. Holy Spirit wants to remove. Sir, no. She wants to carry it. God does not want you to carry any load. You shouldn't live your life as if every day, you know, it's almost as if you have no rest of mind. No, that's not a way to live. Are you getting it? It's not a way to live. You can pray about everything. What did I say? Not some things. You can actually pray about every single thing. John Wesley's mother, who had so many children, at least 11 of them, if not 18, I can't remember. All of her children became men of God. All of them. She prayed them in. Imagine being a mother with 11 children, and you can pray a kind of prayer that God will hear you. I don't know how many you have, oh. I don't know. All your concern is Pampers has finished. Amen. She prayed them in. John Wesley was one of them. Great man of God. Charles Wesley is another one. They are all siblings. And it's one woman. They were not even rich people. And some of us are insisting now that there must be money. Ah! Me lady yao. Tell about Fajia, Egbadura. And prayer is not, it's not some religious type of thing. Then when they say, how do we pray? Say, Father, here. That's not prayer. Prayer is simply a conversation. You understand? You talk to God and then you listen, he will talk back to you. If you can tell him, I'm afraid, daddy, this thing that you are saying, he will tell you, don't be afraid. And he will show you reasons why you shouldn't be afraid. That's prayer. Me, I don't know any other type of prayer, so don't come and ask me that which other type. Those types that have not helped anybody, I don't know, so don't ask me about them. But this type, I'm telling you, works. You will talk to him, he will talk back. You will talk to him, he will talk back. And as the day follows, and the thing he promises you, you will see it manifesting physically. Amen. So, what is the sure foundation for every life, every home, and every ministry that will last? That sure foundation is what works for every life. How many lives does it work for? As it can work for you yourself, it can work for your husband. The Lord can actually walk with you as a woman, even as he's walking with him as a man. He can. And if you are founded upon this sure, precious stone that is tested and tried, you will find him to be utterly faithful. Do you know that some of the promises that the Lord gave to Father Abraham, of course, you and I know, you know that he promised him descendants. Is it not so? Israel is there, and all the Arab nations are there. Abi, who is their father? Abraham. Abi, do you know that there are some portion of that same promise that God will still keep in our own future? Bible says in Galatians that when God was promising Abraham, that it was to Abraham and to his seed that the promises were made. Not seeds as unto many, but seed as unto one. And that seed was Christ. So when God was talking to Abraham that he would give him a seed, he was talking about Christ. Yes, he would give him the physical Isaac he wanted, but he was seeing more than Isaac. And all that Abraham asked for is just one son that can inherit everything. That's all. And God was giving him an eternal promise. Ha! This same God, when he was talking to King David, when David wanted to build him a temple, he told him, no, I don't want you to build a temple for me. Your son will build my temple. Then he told him, you will never lack a son to sit on your throne forever. For Jesus, the son of who? And in our own future, Jesus is going to rule over in Israel forever. Can you imagine? Maybe he had already answered them in life. He will resurrect them so that they can see his faithfulness. I don't know who you want to know. Me, I want to know that kind of person. Somebody who can make promises to me. And that promise, you know, normally we say can last a lifetime. Hope you know I'm now talking about more than a lifetime. In the age of ages, he will still keep his promise. When I understood his eternal plan, I had only one prayer. You didn't ask me, what's that my prayer? That he should forgive me because I used to think he didn't love me. Because I was able to see that what manner of love is this that goes beyond life into beyond the grave. He will even raise us again from the dead. We'll be resurrected so that we can be glorified. So that he can still keep his promises to us. What type of person is that? Is it not worth knowing? Huh? Thank God for your family as husband and wife. But should you not know him as a person? Somebody that can give you a promise. And that promise can last up till a lifetime. And beyond a lifetime. See, I've been sick before and I thought I was going to die. You know what surprised me? He will be there with you. You know that normal thing that people fear that, hey, what will happen? I've seen some black things. No black thing. I was just like, Lord Jesus, you know that I will cling to you till I die. He was there. And he turned what should be death. Do you understand? Utter faithfulness. People used to say, you know, you really can't know what is beyond the grave because you have never died before. Well, I've almost died before. And he was there. I kept clinging to him until I knew nothing anymore. And he was there. Is it not better to know that kind of person? If it is that kind of person, the Lord, that you are talking to about your children, can you not keep them with him? Huh? He told the widow once from Jeremiah, he said, leave your fatherless children with me. I will keep them alive, says the Lord. Amen. Another scripture says that the husband of the widows and the father of the fatherless is God on his throne.
I don't know about you, but personally, me, I want to know him. I want him to be the foundation upon which my life will be built, upon which my home will be built, and upon which my ministry will be built. Please, when I'm talking of ministry, I'm not necessarily talking about preaching. Amen? It's not everybody that will start a ministry. I don't know. Do you get what I'm trying to say? But every one of us, how many of us? Every one of us has a ministry. Okay? So let that be clear. Let that be very, very clear. It's not all of us that will start a work. Are you getting it now? That may not be what the Lord wills for you. But I want us to pray. And I want you to tell him that, Lord, I want to know you. Listen to me. Listen. Look at me first. Did I say you are not a Christian? I'm talking of knowing him.
let us. Moses, after all the mighty miracles, he told him, "Can I see your glory?" Eh? And Moses said, the Lord said, "Moses, I can't show you that, though, because no man can see me in the entirety of my glory and survive." He said, "But you know what I will do? I will keep you in the cleft of the rock. Then when I'm passing by, I'll let you see my back part while I use my hand to shield you." But what surprised me is that what was kept from Moses is offered to us in Christ free. You can see God in the fullness of his glory. And it's on that note that I'll give you that scripture and then we'll pray with it. Okay?
2 Corinthians chapter 3. Are we there? Okay. I want us to read it from verse 14. We are reading all the way to verse 18. And then I'll start taking prayer points from there. Yes, who is reading for me? NKJV.
"For their minds were blinded."
Yes.
"For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament."
Hold on. Up to which day? Today. The veil is still there, covering people's faces when they come into the Bible. Up till this day, the veil is there. But you will see how the veil is removed. And that's what I want to ask you to come into is an experience of your life. Huh. Oh my God. See, eh? If I say I don't know him, I'll be a liar. Do you get? I know him and I have not one regret for it. But the more even me to know him, the more that what? I want to know him. Yes?
"Because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day..."
Please. Verse, what did you start from? Okay, please read verse 14 again.
Their minds were blinded. "For until this day, the
yes.
same veil remains unlifted
yes.
in the reading of the Old Testament."
Yes.
"Because the veil is taken away in Christ."
Please. Why is there a veil? Why is the veil remaining? As long as a man has not come to Christ. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about as long as a man is not yet born again. Eh? I'm talking of when a man now enters into a personal one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. That relationship is called discipleship, where Jesus says, "Come and follow me," and you have chosen to follow him, where Jesus becomes your teacher. Only then is that veil removed. Amen. Yes? Yes. Yes.
Verse 15.
Again, can you see a repetition again? But even till this day,
when Moses is read,
there's a veil upon their heart. Heart talks about spirit. Is it not so? It's not this one that pumps blood. No. It's talking about the core inner person. There's a veil upon them that separates between them and the Lord. The Bible says, please hold on, the Lord Jesus speaking, he said, he spoke to them, then Matthew said, he said that without a parable, he did not speak to them. But when they are alone, he expounded all things, not some things, all things to his disciples. But to all the others, what happens though? He speaks to them in parable. He will not talk to them personally. He will not show them this depth. Why is it so? Because he doesn't want us to be in the outer court and say we have a relationship with God.
He wants us to, he doesn't even want us to be in the court of the tabernacle. He doesn't even want us to be in the holy place. He wants us to be in the holy of holies, where his Father is. And that's where he's calling every human being to. That's where he's calling you to. That's where he's calling me to. And that's why he makes sure the veil will remain. Since they don't want to draw nearer, then let them stay where they want to stay. Even though he knows that only when you relate closely with him, intimately with him, even though he knows that that's when you are best benefited, he will still respect your will and your choice. Amen. It is Satan that will not allow you, that if he knocks and you mistakenly open a lift, he will break the door. So he says, it's Satan that does that. He will keep knocking, knocking, until you say you don't want. And then he will respect you. But you will bear the consequence of your decision. Amen. Amen. Yes? Verse what now?
Verse 16.
Yes.
Nevertheless.
When a woman turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. May today be the day of your turning.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May today be the day of your turning.
Amen.
Brethren, there's nothing as beautiful as a personal, intimate, and one-on-one relationship with God. There's nothing like it. Bro, do you know there are prayer points that I can't pray for you? Not because I don't want to pray. Even you that owns the prayer point, you'll be too ashamed to ask me to pray for those things. But because it's an intimate relationship, there's nothing you can't talk to him about. There's nothing too embarrassing. There's nothing too deep or too shallow. He wants you to talk to him so that he will help you with everything. Yes?
Now,
you know, we said, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So, verse 17 is now telling us who the Lord is. Yes?
Now.
The Lord is the Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ. Yes?
And where the Spirit of the Lord is,
there's freedom. There's emancipation from bondage. Any and every type of bondage. Yes?
But we all,
with unveiled face,
beholding him as in a mirror.
If you are reading the Amplified Classic, it says, beholding as in a mirror in the Word of God. Do you get it now? So now it's bringing in the Bible. That when you come into the Word, you begin now to see as in a mirror. The Word is a two-faced mirror. It shows you who God is. And it shows you who you are supposed to be. Even as he had shown you who you were, it will equally show you what now? Who you are supposed to be. Yes?
Beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord.
Yes.
They are being transformed. Into the same image.
From glory to glory.
Just as by the Spirit of the Lord.
I want us to pray. Do you want to pray? I want you to tell him, Lord, I want to begin this personal relationship with you. I do not want to be a foolish man again. I don't want to be a foolish woman again. I don't want to be one who hears your word and can ignore it. Instead, I want to begin to relate with you intimately and personally. And I want my life to be built on the things that you have said and on the things that you are saying. Let us pray in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, we are in need. And we are in need of you. Lord, we are in need. And our need is you.
All I need is you, Lord. Is you, Lord. All I want is you, Makato zaka le boroda zagaya. Lord, we want to begin this relationship today. We want to begin this relationship today. Lord, we want to begin this relationship today. Hold us by the hand individually. Hold us by the hand collectively. Lord, let us be able to relate with you personally. Lord, you told me you don't want religion. You said you don't want religion. That what you want is a one-on-one relationship. Lord, an intimate relationship. We want to be built on this sure foundation. This sure foundation that if we are built upon you, then our lives are made for life. It doesn't matter the storm that is coming. It doesn't matter what the enemy is attempting to do or will attempt to do. Once we are built upon you, we want to have this one-on-one relationship. This one-on-one intimate relationship. This ever-deepening, ever-growing, ever-increasing relationship. Where we know you and you know us. Where we call upon you in everything, and where you answer us in everything, and where you answer us for everything. Lord, that's what we are asking for.
You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near.
Yes, Lord.
You're all I want. You are all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about a transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, please contact us on 0814-0399-782, 0818-7282-363, 0803-3483-058, or visit our website at www.reformationplatform.com. God bless you.